But I want to start the program tonight by talking to a bloke who we're really pleased and happy to have on the program tonight, because he was always one of our favourite politicians, because he had no qualms in speaking his mind. A proud Labor man, but I've got to tell you also that from his side of politics, when he left, Martin Ferguson was called all sorts of things by the Greens and by his own, by some members of the left wing of his own party, which I thought was very sad, very unfortunate. And if you consider that Martin Ferguson, the former Resources Minister, has now become the chair of Tourism Accommodation Australia. Now, that organisation quite clearly has got a massive vested interest in trying to get more people into Australian accommodation and tourism, but it's got a range of other issues, such as, say, for example, working conditions inside many of the motels and hotels of Australia as well. But there's many other points that are around the place, such as, say, Airbnb is such a big influence on accommodation and even opening up people's houses these days. Anyway, plenty more politics on top of that as well. I'm sure we can talk with him. Martin Ferguson is our special guest on the program tonight. G'day, Martin. How are you doing?
Not bad, yourself, Ross.
Yeah, good, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. This new job, the Tourism Accommodation Australia, it fits very much with where you have been over a long period of time, because quite clearly these tourism businesses, like many of the other businesses you've talked about before in resources, they very much depend on the Aussie dollar and very much depend on confidence in Australia's economy.
Well, I'm pleased to be invited to be the independent chair of the organisation, because I was Minister for Tourism and for a number of years Shadow Minister. I know the industry inside out. I've worked with a lot of the people on the board, and I look forward to actually trying to advance the industry now for two reasons. Firstly, Australia's going through a period of transition economically, and the service sectors such as education and tourism are going to be exceptionally important. And secondly, it creates an opportunity to create new jobs. And those jobs are going to be so important. I was also the Resources and Energy Minister. You can see a wind back of employment in those sectors. The resources boom in construction is over. Yes, we'll expand capacity, and we're thankful for that when you think about the low prices at the moment. We're at least picking it up through extra iron ore and coal and LNG being sold. But we've got to create new jobs, and tourism is really going to be a chance to create meaningful jobs. But we also got to change the industrial framework. We want people to see it as a career.
Just one thing here, Martin, and that is that quite clearly one of the big issues inside that industry is going to be penalty rates. Now, the Labor Party, many parts of the union movement, of which you were a key part for a long time, are going to be very much defending, if you like, the continuation of penalty rates in all sorts of industries. Where do you think that sits in terms of the tourism and the accommodation industries?
Wages and conditions in the accommodation industry are complex. But TAA is not about abolishing penalty rates. It accepts there's a role for penalty rates. They want to rejig the existing wages and conditions to actually make sure that we're actually able to open on some of those Sundays and public holidays where we're now starting to close because we can't afford to. For example, on a public holiday now, a bar attendant's over $50 an hour. A lot of the smaller operators are just not prepared to take the risk of opening because they've got to make a quid. And they cannot afford in a very tough competitive industry to be losing money hand over fist. So it's wrong to say that people absolutely depend on these penalties, because the way we're going, they might have the penalties in the award, but they mightn't have a job because industry can no longer operate under the existing framework. And I must say, having represented low-paid workers as a union official most of my career, they're an absolute priority to me. If you work in this industry Monday to Friday, for example, those wonderful women, many of whom migrants, cleaning the hotel rooms in the Sydney CBD, often living at Penrith or Liverpool, getting the train at 6 o'clock, paying, what, $80 or $90 a week for a weekly ticket, whatever it is, working Monday to Friday, what, if they're lucky, knocking out $32,000, $33,000 a year, well, I'd like to try and do something a little bit better for those people as a result of this. And that might mean, in some areas, changes in the penalty regime for the premium shifts on public holidays and Sundays, but maybe a bit of a package for the low-paid in the industry that lifts the hourly rate. They're the type of things that people will have to front up to in the arbitration proceedings in Fair Work Australia. Or perhaps I would hope that somewhere during these proceedings, people can get in a room and start the horse trade like we used to, rather than being stuck in the old ways of... The current regime must be protected and defended forever and a day because we developed in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Well, society has changed. Sunday is no longer a sacred holy day.
Here's the interesting thing about this. I mean, you come from a proud Labor family. You were a resources minister. I mean, you saw a lot of things as a resources minister that kind of, if you like, went against the politics of the day. You called it as you saw it. I mean, even when you left the Labor Party, you've got now Victoria's Union's chiefs calling on you to be expelled. You've got the Maritime Union Secretary, Kevin Bracken, moving a motion condemning you and urging the Labor Party to kick you out. I mean, this seems pretty odd for a bloke who fought his life inside that Labor movement, I would have thought, Martin.
Oh, it was disappointing, but, you know, I never went through life in the union movement or Labor Party wanting to be loved by everyone. I always had a view you had to lead. If you're prepared to lead, you actually got to say in many ways what's got to be said rather than just hiding for cover and going along with the flow. And, you know, I argued for the development of the resources and LNG sector. Where would we be without all that investment? LNG alone is $200 billion. Well, the biggest export in the nation. Yes, the price of oil is low at the moment. That's good for motorists. But over time, they're going to be huge export earnings, which are going to be ploughed back into transport, schools, education, etc. But those big investments are gone. And part of our future is the service sector, it's tourism. The high dollar and the resources burn actually hurt the industry. We've now got investment in new accommodation, refurbishment of existing hotels all around Australia, including regional areas. You've got a lower dollar. You've got North American economy starting to come back. You've got China continuing to grow. And Jeff Dixon will soon stand down as Tourism Australia chair. That board of Tourism Australia, the current CEO, John Sullivan, the previous one, Andrew McAvoy, working with the accommodation sector and hotels and the amusement parks, well, they position Australia now for growth. But if we don't have a look at our industrial replica regime, we won't get the growth and the jobs that we need.
It's true. Just one thing, in regards as you being a former ACTU president, and quite clearly now that you've got a situation where this event that's going through this Royal Commission in Victoria, the whole point about Clean Event, whether workers in that particular company were denied penalty rates as a result of deals that were done with the AWU, it's clearly not a good look for the union industry, for the union movement. And the other point also is that even the former National Federal Secretary of the AWU, Bill Shorten, who is now going to front that Royal Commission, must surely have questions to answer as to whether, in fact, those members were denied, you know, sort of, if you like, some form of payment that was justifiably theirs.
Well, firstly, I think Bill Shorten is doing a good job, and I'm very pleased that people like Bill and Chris Bowen are now putting out real hard-headed policy proposals for debate in the lead-up to the next election. Actually trying to wind back some of the mentality we've got the Australian community at the moment about an entitlement or handout mentality. We've got to pay for our future. We're getting a real debate and even some agreements between the government and the opposition now about practical changes in the revenue and the tax outcomes. Look, Bill has voluntarily agreed to hunt the Royal Commission to answer those questions. I'm not privy to all the material, either be it of a public or a private nation. It's not for me to comment, but I know Bill is a proud former trade union official. And he would not have willingly sold out workers, in my opinion. And he was correct to decide on Friday to go and put himself there subject to public scrutiny. And he'll answer those questions in due course.
Tell me one thing. I did say at the start that you always like to speak your mind. And the one great grab I've got, and it's the one I always played because I thought it was just so right. It was during the period of the time when the carbon tax was being debated, the minerals resource rent tax was being debated, and it was the Greens that were really, if you like, almost holding the Labor Party at that time to ransom in terms of what they were doing. This is what you said at the time.
No, we can all sit under the tree and weave baskets with no jobs if that's what some people in the NGOs and the Greens want. This is a hard economic debate about also achieving environmental outcomes.
And this is what you're trying to tell me tonight, Martin, isn't it? That people have to move forward. We can't live in the past. We can't sit under the tree and weave baskets because people have got to get out there and work, earn a bob and make some dollars to employ some more people.
It's all about jobs, and I must say my views on the Greens are consistent with where I sit now, but also pleased to see some younger people like Chris Minns, newly elected to the New South Wales Parliament. He's correctly argued, though he's been shouted down, that the party's got to change, got to reduce union representation and build, you know, the membership base with ordinary people, nurses, hotel workers, etc., getting a role in the say in the party. And I was very pleased with his opinion piece in the Daily Press last week, where he correctly pointed out the hypocrisy of the Greens. When it comes to increasing density along public transport corridors, etc., the Greens will oppose it. They'd sooner have Sydney spread without any regard for infrastructure, people's access to schools, hospitals, childcare, etc. People like Chris, who you know, just starting to develop, Chris Bowen, they're our future. And same on the other side, in terms of the Assistant Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg. Doesn't matter the politics, that they speak their mind, don't worry about their careers. They'll prove that they've got a capacity to lead by arguing out the points. It might be unpopular at the time, but live with yourself. Don't go through life worrying about being popular with the Greens and the NGOs and everyone in your own party or the media.
I've got to tell you, Martin Ferguson, it's great to have you on the program, a man who always spoke his mind, even if he went sometimes against his party's view and certainly against sometimes his old mates in the union. But that was the point about it. If you speak your mind, ultimately, some people will understand that you can make some sense. And Martin Ferguson, the chair of the Tourism Accommodation Australia, we appreciate your time on the program this evening.
A pleasure. Talk to you again, Ross. Catch up.